with y'all tonight. I'm excited to be here. A little nervous, but there we go. Let's try that. But Miss Amy sang that song. That helped me. And, you know, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I sure am thankful to be back on a Wednesday night. Amen. I've been longing for this. I desire church. And on top of that, I need church. I need to be amongst those that think differently than most of this world. And sure do enjoy the time that we're at church together. And I'm so grateful that we're back on a Wednesday night. My thought tonight's not any different. Brother Mike already alluded to this. Every time, or a lot of the times that I stood with you, before you, it's been on trusting God. And I think in the day and the hour that we live today, that's something that, you know, we need to trust Him with everything that's going on. And I remember one of my titles was, you know, trusting God in uncertain times. And tonight it's not much different, but it's trusting Him in an uncertain future. You know, where we are today and what we've experienced almost a year now, lot of anxiousness, a lot of overwhelming feelings and things that come on us for me that I've experienced over the last year. The unknowns, the uncertainty. And I think that probably within the last year, I've probably read my Bible more than I ever have. Probably not even just daily, but a couple times a day, even just picking it up and reading it, or whether it was just looking something up while I was at work, you know, just to escape, just to meditate a few minutes on God's Word and just push this outside world away just for a little bit. We had a team meeting, which is kind of like the Zoom, I guess, of everything today, but this world is just on edge. Our CEO and president of our company had a meeting so that everyone within the company could watch it live or go back and listen to it. And the customers that I work in retail, and the customers are just, it's just unreal. We've experienced something at our house yesterday. If you don't pay the water bill, they'll turn it off. And, so I dealt with a little bit of that. So when I called them this morning, you know, I thought about what I was going to say. And, you know, look, I want to be nice. And, you know, I wanted to use the same thing that I hear over and every day is, how can you do this to me in a pandemic? Right. But, you know, it was on us. But that team's meeting was about just how these customers this week, I had one that literally cussed me like a dog. And I've just never seen anything, experienced anything like that. So my thought tonight is trusting God in an uncertain future. And that answer, the answer to that, for all uncertainty, is to solely focus on and trust the sovereign God that we serve. And that key there, the sovereign God that we serve, trusting Him with our whole heart. Let's look at the definition of this, which may be good or bad, I don't know, Wikipedia, but the definition of sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is the Christian teaching that God is the supreme authority. Can anybody agree with that? Anybody agree with that? And all things are under His control. Can we agree to that? Number two, God is the sovereign Lord of all by an incontestable right as the creator, owner, and possessor of heaven and earth.
Sovereignty is an attribute of God based upon the premise that God is the creator of heaven and earth, has absolute right and full authority to do or allow whatever He desires. Anybody agree with that? I believe that. And I thought about this today when I was reading over this, and I thought, you know, if I was a lost person, this could scare me. With where we are today, to think that there was someone in such control that I didn't know, that could control the sun and the moon, and I didn't know him, how scary that has to be for that lost individual. He's almighty. The sovereignty of God, it means the ultimate source of all power, authority, and everything that exists. Only God can make those claims. Therefore, it's God's sovereignty that makes Him superior to all other gods and makes Him and Him alone worthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for this time, God, that we can gather in Your house. And Lord, I pray thanking You, Father, today, God, for Your many blessings. Lord, just want to thank You, Father, for being good to us, Lord. Thank You, God, for being merciful to us. Lord, I pray tonight, God, I ask You, Father, to meet with us all across this land, Lord God, as we gather in Your name. Lord, I pray that You would be with those that stand before You, God, and ask You to touch them, Father. Lord, be with the teachers. And Lord, I pray, God, Father, for the children. Ask You, Lord, to be with our pastor. And Lord, God, that You would touch him in the meeting. God, that they'd get help, Lord God, Father, for their lives. And Lord, tonight I ask You just to be with us and go with us and help us. God, that You would lead and guide us and direct us. For all that we ask is in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight, so that you feel like you're participating, if you have your Bibles, won't be there till just a few minutes, but if you want to open your Bible to the 34th Psalm, we'll look there, and then we'll go to Matthew after that. But I just want us to look at, I just want to touch some verses and about this sovereignty, the sovereign God that we serve, and trusting Him in the uncertain future. Trusting God when there's nowhere else to turn, really. Honestly, there's nowhere else we can go. God is above all things and before all things. Revelation 21, it says, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and He's the last, and He's everything in between. There's nothing else in between or standing in front of our God. All this that's taking place, nothing's taken Him by surprise today. Nothing that's happening in this country today is taking God by surprise. Colossians 1 and 6, chapter 1, 16 says, For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He's omnipotent. He's all power. He's created all things. He's created this into existence, spoke it into existence. For you and I, there's nothing He can't do. There's nothing too big or too small for the God that we serve. Romans 11:33 says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. God knows all things, past, present, and future. There's no limit to His knowledge. God knows everything before it happens. He is omniscient. He knows it all. And we can trust Him in that. We just have to just focus, keep our focus on Him. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for Thee. God can do all things and accomplish all things. That's the God that we serve. That's the sovereign God that you and I, as a child of God, that's who we serve. Nothing's too difficult. He determines everything that's going to happen in your life, in my life, in America, and in this world. He determines each and every piece of that puzzle that happens. He has a part in it. He is that. Whatever He wants to do, He does. For nothing is impossible. He's omnipotent. He's the all power. He's the all authority. Psalms 103 and 19. David declares God's sovereignty in this verse. He says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." He has prepared His throne in the heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all. That's enough for me. If I trust and believe what this word promises us and tells us, then that's enough for me. My God is in control. God is in control of all things and rules over all things. He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. He has power and authority over Mother Nature, kings, queens, presidents, angels, and even Satan himself. Even Satan himself. With all the things that come against us, all the things we're faced with on a daily basis, my God is fighting for me and you. He is fighting on our behalf to keep the devil from destroying us. He's in control of that. How else can we trust Him? How else can we trust Him? By being in the presence of God. I was listening just this week, I think it was Monday. I was coming home and I was listening to some of the sermons from Liberty in 2000, I think it was 2009 still. There was an old preacher, can't remember his name, I think it was Vernon. But anyway, he was preaching on the presence of God. And he was preaching out of the book of Ruth and preaching about being in the field, being in that place, being in that presence, in the right place where God can help us. Where we are in the right place, doing the right thing, God can help us and He can protect us. So a few things I want to look at and talk about that I thought about in this presence of God. There's hope. There's peace. There's provision. There's protection. There's rest, peace, and joy. In the presence of God. The hope of God. It's the confident expectation of what God has promised and its strength in His faithfulness. One writer said it like this, almost same thing. He says, "It is a confident expectation and desired for something good in the future." And we're looking at just that. Trusting God for what's to come. That future. I don't know what's going to happen in the next week, the next year, the next 4 years, next 40 years. But I think about this with everything that's been going on. I thought about this. I guess where I get the most anxiety or, you know, just kind of overwhelmed with things of the future is not so much for me, but for my children. And for a lot of you, your grandchildren, what are they going to see and experience in the next 30, 40 years? You know, and that's what kind of overwhelmed me. And you know, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know what took place today. I haven't even turned the TV on. You know, I had to disconnect from that media, that junk. I had to get it rid of it because, you know, if you let it, it'll it'll create that anxiety in us, you know, and that just uneasy feeling, you know. But us as Christians, we have to be that light for that world that knows nothing about the one who's in control. This God that's sovereign, that knows tomorrow. He knows the future. We can't dwell on that. But we can trust Him with what He has for us. There's been provisions made. There's been preparation that's been laid out and put ahead for you and I, for our lives. And we've got to trust Him. And His Word gives us everything that we'll ever need to be able to lean on and look at when we get into those times. Amen? I believe it. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Wrote this down. How many of you have ever experienced this? You get all anxious, anxiety about something, get nervous about something that's a week down the road, year down the road, something you're going to have to face, something you're going to have to deal with. And then when that time comes, never comes to pass. But we've worried and drove ourselves crazy over something that we can't control. Right? We have to trust in Him for the future. Psalms 119, 114 says this, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." That hiding place, that refuge, that place that being in the presence of God, that we can escape this world, that we can get away from it. This church, the churches, that's a refuge for us. That's where I can come and separate myself from the world, of the things that live like the world, and that can come in here and can be with people of like mind, like hearts. And my shield. There's a refuge. There's a resting place. There's a rest in that. There's peace in that. And He's my shield. He's our protection. So when the world's coming at us, the devil's coming at us, He's our protection. He's fighting for us. Psalms 31 and 24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Don't be discouraged. It's easy. It happens to all of us. I believe that. We get discouraged about something. We feel defeated. We get defeated. He says here, He's to strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. This hope is, as said, is an expectation of something that's going to come true. It's not that, well, I hope it don't rain tomorrow. No, this hope is, if that's the case, I know it's not going to rain tomorrow. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Number two, the peace of God. John 16 and 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. We're going to go through some things, right? I mean, that's clear. We're going to face some things in our life, some trials and some afflictions. There's no way this Bible will ever deny that we're going to experience those things. But He says, be of good cheer. The sovereign God that we serve has overcome the world. When this thing's over, when my time is over, when I leave this world, I'll draw next breath in an eternity. Not in hell, but in heaven. Home. Home. This is not my home. This is not my home. Isaiah 26 and 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." That focus. Solely focus and trust in Him. That focus that stayed on thee because He trusteth in thee. 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's from the beginning to the end. And as I said before, it's everything in between. It's everlasting. There's no end to that. There's no end to it. He's our rock. He's our firm foundation. He's unmovable. You can't change Him. Psalms 55 and 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm going to look at a verse in Psalms later on that talks basically the same thing about we're God's children. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God's got us. So now if you got your Bibles, look in Psalms 34. I want to start in verse 17. Now this is David's own experience and the afflictions that he's experienced in his life. Things that he's went through. But he tells us that God delivers the children of God. He delivers us. 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Not a few, not some, not several, but out of all troubles. All troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We're going to go through those things, as I've said. There's no denying that. And there's going to be many. There's going to be several. There's going to be a lot. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Talked about the hope. The peace. Thirdly, we want to talk about the provision of God. Being in the presence of God and experience all these things. Provision of God. It's the act of providing or making previous preparation. Things provided. Preparation. Measures taken beforehand. That's our God. He's laid this out from the foundation of the world. He knows it from the beginning to the end. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We can trust Him that when we leave out of this old world, we're a child of God, all of our troubles, all of our sorrows, all those things that we've been faced with and broken hearts and everything that we've went through down here will be no more. There'll be no more. He's given us that expected end. He may not deliver us now, this day, but He has a plan. He's made that preparation. For us, He's worked it all out to see us through to the other side. It may be next week. It may be something you're going through personally. It may be this country, what we're going to experience in the next year, 4 years, whatever it is. But God, nothing's taken Him by surprise. None of this has taken Him by surprise. I wrote this down. I'm glad I serve the God who will never leave me nor forsake me. No matter how deep the valley, He'll never leave me. He'll see me through to the other side. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. See, we can't even begin to fathom the understanding, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We have no understanding of what He's doing for us on our behalf each and every day of our lives. Each and every day what He's doing for us on our behalf. We'll never even be able to comprehend that, I don't think. Just because we may be in over our heads, He's not. He's made that preparation. And He will provide for His children. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6 and 25. Matthew 6 and 25. And we'll probably read. We got time. We got some time. So we'll probably read all the way down through this. It says, "Therefore I say unto you," talking about the provision of God, the preparation, the providing that's taken place for His children. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" We can trust Him. We can trust Him. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Whitherwhile shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So I made this note. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All that we will allow ourselves, our minds, to control us. Today has enough troubles in itself for me. We don't need to put things of the unknown, the tomorrow, on us today when we can't control that. But we can allow it to control us if we take that on. Don't put those troubles on you today. As I said before, have you came to that time where you were so anxious and worried about something and it never came to pass? But we worried ourselves to death about it. Don't worry about it. Romans 8 and 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things?" Simply put, I read after one writer, he said it like this: "This profound truth is that the Creator of the universe," and I circled this, "is right now for us." He's right now for us this day, watching, caring for us, providing for us, watching after everything that takes place. He's with us right now for saved Christians because we are in Christ. And the last place I want to go is Psalms 37. And we got a little bit of time, so we may just read this whole psalm. We'll read through this, but I want to touch on four verses in this, and then we'll come back and read it. So I want to start with 25 in this. He says, this is David says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We're a child of God. Even through this, all of life's experience that he's went through and afflictions and things that he's seen, the righteous have not been forsaken. God's got us. We just got to trust him. We just got to believe what this word tells us and gives us in these times of uncertainty. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I'll look down at verse 39 and 40. He says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Simply just put our trust in God and believe all that he has done for us and all that he will do for us because of the hope that we have in his word. And let's turn back. I want to just read. We'll just read through this. I didn't think we'd have this much time. What I'd like for you to do is at some point when the world is coming at you, I ask you just to read this psalm and just meditate on it for a little bit. And just listen to what it says. Verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. See all that's taking place in this world right now? All the evil, all that's taking place, we don't have to worry about that. We're going to have to dredge through some of those things in life, but we don't have to worry. We don't have to let it just get us beat down and discourage us and defeat us. It says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest, there's that word rest, that presence. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Does anybody struggle with that? There's people make me so mad sometimes it's unreal what they do to me. I know I can't be the only one in here tonight that struggles with that. Brother Mark? No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, you know, it's hard a lot of times, isn't it? For our human, you know, for our nature, for our flesh to want to take control of everything. And, you know, I think I've gained a lot of patience and wisdom over the last few years. This March will be 7 years. Since God saved me, but I was a mess. I mean, I was an absolute mess. And I just can't believe what he's done for me in my life, you know? It's just unreal. I mean, there's a lot of you that know a little bit about my past in here, but man, it's still just, it's unreal to me what he's, how he's done for me and changed my life. And to be standing in, you know, in front of you tonight, it's amazing. It's unreal. Verse 9, it says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." That peace. Man, I love that peace that comes with just being in the presence of God. And, you know, I used to think that I was at peace. You know, I remember being in school and had friends, you know, talk about whether your glass is half empty or half full. And, you know, they used to just, you know, say it about me. They said, "He don't care if he's got any water in the glass at all." You know, but just, you know, just being in that peace of what God has given to me, that rest, you know, because, I mean, I was, you know, like our preacher talks about, I mean, there was, I mean, it was like that for me. I mean, I could go from just nice and be to, I mean, just fly off the handle and be all over you. It's amazing what God has done for me, what he's done for all of us. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and shall it not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." We're on the winning side, folks. It may not look like it a lot of times, but we're on the winning side. We are on the winning side. "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." I thought about that today. I was reading this, and I had heard a preacher preach on this at some point, and it was talking about just being thankful for just the little things that we have, right? It's not the abundance of it, but just to be thankful for what we do have, you know? "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Amen. Amen. "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous show mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." 24. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Sir, I'm glad that I serve the God that upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness, delivers us from the things that we're just beat down over. And he still lifts us up out of that depths when we're just overtaken with the things of this world. And he's right there with us. He's right there with us. And then verse 25, as we read, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." 27. "Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. We just got to endure some hard times. We just got to endure through this thing and just trust in him. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, in spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not, yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. In verse 40, and the Lord shall keep them, help them, deliver them, and deliver that he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. Brother Mike.